This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM's Morning Run, and I'm Khoo Soo Chong with Wong Shaoning and Philip Seat.
The US was mixed, the Dow was down 0.1%, S&P 500 flat, up marginally 0.02%, and Nasdaq was up 0.3%. But over across at Asia, Hang Seng was flat, down marginally 0.02%, Nikkei down 0.2%, Shanghai in negative territory at 0.5%, STA down 0.3%, and as usual, with the zig comes the zag, at home, FBM KLCI was up 0.6%.
But in the meantime, we've got on the line with us Michael Lai. He's the Executive Director of Wealth Advisory at OCBC Bank to talk about markets. And Michael, good morning and welcome to the show. Now, in America, equity bulls seem to be plateauing on reflationary worries and premature tapering from the Federal Reserve. Of course, this is all about inflation, and we see inflation numbers will come out later on Thursday. Are those concerns justified?
Good morning. It's good to be back. I think this inflation tantrum has actually been started probably end of May, and it has been the major theme, and I believe that it will still be something that we will talk about for the rest of the year. But however, since March, I think this particular fear seems to have simmered down somewhat. I think some of the indicators seems to have come off. The 10-year yield has come off from the high, there's been a bit more information with regards to why the U.S. Federal Reserve believes that the any inflationary pressures would be transitory. I think if you look at as America is getting vaccinated and is reopening the economy, there are bound to be bouts of bottlenecks. And obviously, the bottlenecks would then lead to inflationary price pressures. So these are something that probably people observe on the day-to-day. But whether there is something that's going to be sustainable for the rest of the year, we think we are on the side of the Fed in this case, that inflation will still be something to monitor for, but we don't believe it's sustainable at this point. But more likely, I think we need to be a bit more focused on the vaccination, because as we know, U.S. is doing well. It's not out of the woods yet. We just heard Anthony Fauci talk about the variant that has very high transmission rate. So investors would probably more likely do well if they focus on to the primary concerns in terms of the vaccination as well as the reopening of economies.
So Michael, just to talk about one of the key drivers of this inflation tantrum, which is oil. Oil yesterday broke through the crucial $70 level during trading in New York. How are rising crude prices going to impact Malaysia's fortunes, given that we are an oil producer?
Of course, I think it's good news. It's great news. At least one of the key pillars of our export earnings is back. We do believe that oil price at this level is probably at the top end of our forecast. We do believe that a lot of the oil-producing nations would be motivated to pump a lot more oil out of the ground for obvious reasons. They want to be able to rebuild the economy. They want to be able to support the reopening. So these are all very good indications for oil-producing nations. For Malaysia, for sure as well, is good news. Like I say, we don't believe oil price would move a lot further up from here because the motivation to pump oil is there.
And staying on Malaysia, I mean, we had a Per Makassar Plus program, and this follows from the various previous programs and is meant, of course, to cushion the impact of the current MCO. Do you think this is enough to kind of stimulate the economy, or do you think more measures are actually needed?
Well, I mean, if you take a comparison of how much each country has spent on the stimulus and support, I mean, Malaysia is, if I'm not wrong, is about 7.9% of GDP. There are countries like Singapore that's double that, but there are also countries such as Indonesia and Philippines that are half of what we are spending in terms of stimulus. So on that basis, I think it's probably not fair to compare country to country, but it's more likely that you need to look at the structure of the economy. So for example, like Macau, spent 25% of GDP on the stimulus support simply because the structure of the economy requires it. A lot more people are employed under the leisure and travel business in Macau. Whereas I think the structure of the economy in Malaysia is probably less dependent on tourist dollar. Yes, we are, but not as dependent as countries such as Macau. So I do believe we are doing okay. I think more can be done in the sense that if we follow through with what America is doing, you need to support the loss of income. That's number one. And then you need to then make sure that you vaccinate the population, that people are able to go back to work. But at the same time, you need to be able to stimulate demand so that you create jobs for people who are looking for work and replace those lost income. So the second leg of creating jobs and stimulating the economy so that people can find jobs again when things are open up again, that's probably where I think we should spend more effort on, as opposed to just supporting with cash in the very short term.
Yeah, Michael, on a markets basis and regionally, the markets in the region seem to be trading in a tight range. What's the catalyst that you see that could either cause markets to rise or fall from here on in?
I think a key component of it is how quickly we can get vaccinated. A lot of this so-called bottlenecks in the U.S. is partly because of supply chain. Some of it is still locked down. Some of it is still just reopening. They need to ramp up production. People need to get back to factory to work. So obviously a lot of these bottlenecks comes through from a global supply chain views. And therefore, I think one of the things that everyone in the world can do, or developed countries can do, is really to ramp up the COVID initiative, the COVAX initiative, to ensure that the world is vaccinated and, getting vaccines to the arms of people. I think that would be really the one big thing that would help everybody.
Can we get your perspective on Japan? The Q1 GDP numbers just came out weak at -1%, and the yen has been largely sold off against the greenback. What's your outlook on Japan's economy this quarter, and will it pick up any tailwinds from the Olympics?
I think you sort of indicated in terms of what the outlook is, and I don't think we're straying very far from that. As we know, Japan is going through a state of emergency. And that actually covers 70% of the population in Japan. So you could imagine a state of emergency with 70% of the population. Now, obviously, that's going to be a big impact on GDP, and therefore your forecast is probably on the right side, more or less. In terms of the Olympics, I think it's really quite a difficult question because it's national pride involved, Japan's position in the world, how it's perceived in the world, that sort of coming out party in Olympics and stuff like that. That tends to be also something that maybe people who are not Japanese may miss out on. So there would be some tailwind, but I think maybe my concern in this sense is what is the aftermath of the Olympics? Is there going to be clusters formed because of athletes? That would actually be more of my concern instead of just the Olympics itself.
All right, Michael, thank you so much for your time. That was Michael Lai, the Executive Director of Wealth Advisory at OCBC Bank. Now, just in terms of what he touched upon with oil prices, right now Brent is trading at $72 a barrel. I mean, we make a big deal out of Malaysia being a net oil producer. Net energy producer, right. But we also, I think we sometimes forget the fact that oil prices at the pump, at the petrol pumps, are subsidised by the government.
Yes.
And I think beyond 2 ringgit at 5 cents per litre, the government pays for the, subsidises the rest of it.
Mm.
As oil prices go up, that bill gets bigger, and we know we don't have a lot of fiscal headroom. So, this is something that's kind of like passed our attention in recent weeks, but we don't yet know the actual monetary number that the government is subsidising.
Yeah, but I think what would be interesting to note is how much dividend Petronas is going to pay out. Because if oil prices on one level do improve, all right, or energy prices improve, then Petronas is the clear beneficiary. Now, if they see an increase in profit, then that flows back in terms of dividends. Now, whether there's going to be a request from the government for special dividends, I think there's still a question mark. Because Tunku Zafro did allude when he asked how is he going to pay for all the stimulus packages. One of the things he said was they're probably going to look at GLCs to give more dividends. And Petronas is a classic one.
And to build on that, Petronas posted a 9.3 billion net profit in quarter one.
Yeah, so if all pump prices continue to rise, we can expect that 9.3 billion US or US dollars ringgit to increase in coming quarters.
Do they pay a quarterly dividend or is that a back-ended ang pao? I mean, that's the question, right?
I suspect it's a back end ang pao.
Do you know what I mean, right? Because yeah. there's costs in the meantime, in the immediate term, right? You've got to recapitalize your, you know, you've got to start your engines
yeah,
again,
yeah, but
right?
Petronas has been very clear. I mean, when you look at their master plan, they have come out to say very clearly that they are under cost efficiency drive.
That's right.
They have been really cutting that down significantly. But what's going to be interesting for Petronas is their shift towards renewables. That's really going to be a challenge for them.
And whether or not the investments from the profits will be used to funnel that reinvestment into renewables.
Exactly.
That's a big question mark.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, Michael Lai said this is at the top end of the range in terms of oil prices at 72. But you don't have to imagine with the rest of the world, you know, gearing back up. You know, we've seen that Europe is opening its borders again. People are traveling. America's, more than half of Americans are vaccinated now.
At least one dose, I think.
Yeah, at least one dose. So, correct. You know, they're all mingling and having a bit of a party. You
apparently,
know,
domestic flights in the US
season.
Are back to 2019 levels.
Oh, yes. Domestic and fares are increasing substantially over the US.
It's summer holidays, right? So there you go. Okay, 7:18, we'll come back after this with some headlines from the local newspapers. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.